Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. This is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible, and it's good to be with you this week. Today, I have invited Dustin Greenup. Dustin Greenup is a missionary here from Faith Bible Church. We've supported him the last several years. Most recently, they've been in Peru. Dustin, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I say they. Tell us about your family a little bit.
Yeah, so my wife, Heidi, we've been married for almost 14 years this summer. And we have five children. Ezra, who's our oldest, who's 12 right now. And then Olivia's 10. Camille and Moses are both 8. And Emily is 4.
So how many does that make?
That makes 5.
5 of you.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, 5 kids.
5 kids, yeah. Yep. That's a lot of kids. That's good job, Dustin. Yep. Way to go.
Yeah.
So Ezra, just the other day, Ezra was watching a couple of my younger kids. Did a great job.
Yeah.
Really, really sweet guy.
Yeah. The Lord has gifted him to be able to interact and engage with younger kids really well.
So. That's great. So it's good to have you guys here at Faith Bible for a little bit. And then good to have you in the podcast too.
Thank you.
I thought it'd be good for us to talk about missions, something missions related.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can cultivate a heart for missions in our family. If I were to say this, and I've been saying this a lot recently, we want every family to be a worship center. We want every family to be worshiping Jesus. We want every family to be a ministry center, so ministering to each other and to others. And we want every family to be a mission center, on mission together. And so tell me a little bit about why is it important? Why is this such an important thing to really work to cultivate a heart for missions in our families?
Yeah, it's a huge topic. You're probably, and others are probably familiar with Piper's phrase. I believe he was the one who first coined it, that missions exist because worship doesn't. And that's the impetus that gets us to send missionaries, be missionaries, support missionaries, is for the worship and glory of God.
Right.
So it's really, missions is not an end in and of itself. It's for the purpose of worship of our great God.
Absolutely. So when we're talking about you, I mean, you've been on the mission field, and this is something obviously in your heart that God has done. How did God do that? How did God create in you that heart? And I think what you just said was really important. Worship is the important point,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If we are worshiping Him, that will create in us this heart for causing others or pointing others to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal with missions. Our goal with missions is to make all nations worship Him,
mm-hmm.
right? But how did God do that for you?
Everyone has a different story of how they get to where they're at, but I love how the Lord did it in my life and in my wife's life, and because it wasn't just initial desire to, oh, we want to go. It was the process of many years of cultivation, both in our family units, as I was growing up with my parents, and then in Faith Bible Church, it was a priority as I was going through junior high and high school and college. The Lord used that to stoke that fire to see Christ magnified in the nations. And that back in when I was in high school, that was in the context of short-term missions within the context of the local church, serving and helping long-term missionaries of Faith Bible Church on the field. So practically that was a short-term trip to Venezuela, 3 different times, and a short-term trip to France, both of where long-term missionaries of Faith Bible Church were located. And the Lord used that and kind of stoked that fire of this is serious and this is important and I want that to continue to be cultivated. And my parents did some practical things where in the summers where they provided that freedom to say, okay, we can see that Dustin's bent is towards missions in some fashion, in some measure. We don't know where that will lead, but let's help provide some opportunities for Dustin to use some time in the summer to do that, and which resulted in a few trips to Venezuela. And one time specifically, I remember it was within the short-term trips of Faith Bible Church, but my mom was on the trip, my sister was, and I. So the three out of the four of us were on the trip, and my dad didn't tell us, but he ended up coming as well a few days later and surprised us in the Belch's home, and we were just kind of shocked that he was there. And it really turned into cultivating some gospel expansion memories within our family.
So you didn't know he was even coming?
No. Mm-mm.
Did your mom know he was coming?
She did.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Man, that's Jim is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy for ideas that will bring glory to God.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. So talk a little bit more about that. How in other ways was your family intentional?
The Lord kind of used that and cultivated it as I went through college, just continuing to be involved that way. And then it was always a priority of the local church. So I like to tell people, like, as they ask, well, what stirred your heart? And I would say three major things stirred my heart. One, having believing parents who loved Christ and loved one another and stayed married and were growing together. Like, that was an evidence of Christ's work. Second, growing up in a church that was committed to expository preaching. And I don't mean just 3 points and then a conclusion. Right. I mean taking the Bible and opening it and seeing God's plan from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, and extolling Christ. Like, there's a direct relationship between the proclamation of the scriptures and missions. They're just hand in glove. Connected.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then three was getting outside the U.S., getting my worldview exposed outside of the little context in which I grew up in. And I think that's critical in discipling one's family. If you have opportunities to expand your kids' worldview, it's important to do that. And you don't have to go across an ocean to do that.
Yeah.
But we grow with a certain set of glasses by which we see the world. And as you're discipling and training your family, those need to be cultivated to see the world from a biblical worldview. Yeah. And a practical side of that is get outside your comfort zone, interact with people that you maybe don't interact with at your kid's school or something like that. That's a real critical piece. So those are some of the things that Lord used in growing up. And then being connected with long-term missionaries, the Lord continued to use that over time.
So when I look at all the families at Faith Bible Church, mm-hmm. I'm constantly thinking about who is God calling to be on mission overseas and outside of the context that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to families who think, well, that could never be us? Well, we'll support families that go and do those things, but no, we could never actually go overseas, even for a short-term mission trip, or even maybe a long-term commitment. What would you say to families? How would you encourage them?
If it's not off topic, I'll share a little about Heidi's story.
Yeah, that'd be
because
great.
She grew up in a great home with parents who loved each other and loved Christ, but she had never been outside the States. And she knew in that, that, okay, the Lord might be calling her to take that step of faith. So she ended up in one summer to take a month and went and visited Evelyn Hatton in Zambia. And the Lord used that to called her to step out of her comfort zone. And then the Lord had us get married and then go on the mission field. So the Lord was preparing some of that. But in terms of a family as a whole, we make the assumption that, I would never be called to it. When the assumption might, for a believer and a believing family, is maybe the exceptions that you don't go. Like, our mind and our heart should always be gearing towards the expanse of Christ's kingdom.
Absolutely.
And there's some practical things that people can do, but you have to put yourself in a place where, can I be exposed to seeing the gospel go forth?
Yeah.
for a family that's in that place, the perspective course was really helpful and foundational in that.
Yeah.
Because it's that exposure. And there's a lot of different avenues to be involved in the extending of Christ's kingdom. Sometimes we think, oh, you have to be a guy behind a pulpit.
Right.
Sharing the gospel.
Right.
Or someone who's sharing the gospel with every single person they see. Those are the missionaries. Those are the ones who should go to the field. When no, there's a thousand ways that people can be used, especially in the globalization of the world today.
Right.
There's so many avenues.
And really, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but as I've learned, most fields or a lot of fields today are not necessarily open to the guys standing behind pulpits or the guys who are what we think of as typical missionaries. It's more the guys who are businessmen or have some trade or some type of business or some type that they need to go into a country to contribute to the economy of that country. And that's the only Christians that can really get in.
Yeah, especially for where the biggest sections of unreached people groups groups that have zero gospel witness, those are the most restrictive in entering.
Right.
And having a different platform is absolutely essential.
Yeah.
And there are still fields where a pastor or a pastoral trainer can go, but when thinking about extending Christ's kingdom where he hasn't been named, there's some specific methods of entry that any industry or profession could be put to use. Teaching, accounting, business development,
right.
Medical, anything.
Sports is a big thing where guys, you know, are it's wide open to go in and do sports camps or sports training and share the gospel, right?
Yeah.
Without being a typical, what we think of as a preacher or a pastor. So I would just even encourage people listening to think about, you know, is it possible, would you consider doing what you do here somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider going somewhere else and having a business or working in your field for the sake of Christ?
Yeah.
And I think more people need to be considering that.
Yeah, more people need to consider that and just take a few steps forward at a time.
Right.
Likely someone's not going to be in the middle of their career and the next day decide they're moving to Southeast Asia.
Right.
There's going to be a process.
Right.
And that's through the local church, through trustworthy agencies, through connections with missionaries that those people know or need to get to know. There's a process to start down that road because it's a journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people ought to consider it and think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah.
I think with churches supporting as well, the monies that it takes to support a missionary, a typical missionary, when you have more of a marketplace type of idea, the need for monies is not as great.
Mm-hmm.
And the fields are open. Mm-hmm. So let's talk practically then. How can we've already said this a little bit, but how can we encourage families practically to be doing this, be on mission together as a family, cultivating a heart for missions in their children, in their family? Give our family some practical helps.
So first, I would say a few of the things that we loved and cherished as missionaries on the field receiving from people were people communicating that they were specifically praying for us. So one, I would say, pray very specifically for missionaries. We had a family that said, Dustin, we're going to pray for you guys. Our family is going to pray for you Monday mornings at 7 a.m. And we knew at breakfast that family is praying for us every Monday morning. And it helped our heart pray for them. It helped grow our relationship, though we weren't talking every week, but our relationship grew with them.
Yeah.
And one time we were FaceTiming or Skyping with that family, and their kids were asking such specific questions that ministered to us because it's like, wow, these kids didn't just create that. They are asking those specific questions because their parents care about it.
Right.
And that was a huge blessing to us. Another situation was we were needing to buy a vehicle in Peru. And a family said, okay, over the next month, we're going to really work to help contribute to the purchase of a vehicle that you need for gospel ministry. And their kids ended up contributing. And one of their kids ended up earning like $75
wow.
towards the vehicle, like wow. helping us purchase a vehicle. And I know that kid remembers it because the $75 is a lot to him. We remember it because it was a blessing to us. And our kids remember it because they realize that that child and that family contributed towards our need on the field. One, care packages are always, missionaries always love those.
Yeah.
Let's say you're familiar with missionaries on the field, but you really don't know them. I would just encourage, choose one of those families and just say, okay, I'm going to email them or message them and just say, I would hope that our relationship could grow. Yeah. What are some specific ways I can get to know you, learn about you, pray for you?
Yeah.
And the Lord uses that.
Yeah, just adopt a missionary, you know, and that sounds hokey maybe, but choose one of our missionaries and really intentionally go about connecting with them and praying for them and giving them encouragement, frequent encouragement, and just get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
We have technological advances to the point that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
What if we overwhelmed our missionary families? Did you ever feel overwhelmed by care?
No.
No. So, but my point is, I don't think we're going to wear out our missionaries with care.
Correct.
And so what if a family, now I know in children's ministry, you know, in the classrooms or, you know, I see this where we have a missionary board and we say, hey, our missionary of the month, or hey, we're going to be praying for this missionary. That's all good. That's good stuff because we're putting missionaries in front of kids and that. But what if a dad and a family said, this is going to be our missionary that we're going to pray for and really, really give ourselves to, that is even more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And really what I'd love to see families do, adopt a missionary, you know, or come up with your own phrase if that one's too hokey for you.
I know every missionary of Faith Bible Church and every missionary on the field would cherishes that when it's done and desires it when it's not. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
And then when you come home, when you come home for a little while, it's like...
I funny story, this summer when we were coming home, our 8-year-old son Moses ran up to his grandpa and grandma and said, Nana, we're famous here. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, all these people know my name and I have no clue who they are.
Well, he is named Moses.
Yeah, but it was just a funny...
That's awesome.
Realization that, people were praying specifically and knew him. And then it was a process of getting to know people again.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
One of the thought is, especially in that demographic that's nearing retirement, probably a better phrase would be called repurposing, that age where they're finishing their current employment and some of their time and resources are maybe freed up, depending on the stage of life.
Yeah.
We have some friends in Montana who they're in their seventh decade of life, and they told us that they want a purpose to take every one of their grandkids over the course of the next 8 years, because they have 8 grandkids, on an international mission trip for the purpose of helping cultivate their grandkids' hearts in the context of family and in the context of missionaries they knew on the field. So that it wasn't just a vacation trip. It was a purposeful family discipleship trip. And that was just neat to hear. And
that's a great idea. And this is not like, I have to really resist the temptation to be guilt trippy. I don't want to throw guilt trips on people who spend their money on other things. However, we spend our money on a lot of things. We save up for vacations. We save up for retirement. You know, we save up for all these things. And, you're talking to a family says, well, we can't even think about going on a trip overseas. I mean, that would be an incredible amount of money, and it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But how much money do we save up for vacations or other things that we really put high value on, high priority on? I think that if we started thinking more missional, it would change the way we even save our money and what we save our money for.
So, missional and generational.
Generational, because, yeah.
Like, right. Parents, obviously, and grandparents as well, have a huge role in the coming generations.
Absolutely.
And as long as the Lord gives you breath, do what you can with those that you have connection with, family, church, all that, to extend Christ's kingdom. Because time's short.
Yeah, what if we live that way? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing that I think about. It's exciting. What if we live that way, where everything we had was purposed towards the mission of Christ, to make Christ known? I mean, what else would there be worth giving our life for? And that's what I want to see happen. I want to see that happen in families' lives. So
another practical item I would say is just teach your kids geography for the glory of God. And that doesn't mean you have to have a map in every room like I do, but teach your kids geography for the glory of God. And what that means is, as they're learning continents and things like that, try to find things to pray for. When you're watching the world news and you hear something, don't let it just be information in one ear and out the other. Like, pray and use that as an opportunity. I grew up in the old electronic age of the Geo Safaris, where it had the map and the... I loved it, though, because you could learn, and when it's connected to God's glory and worshipers of Him, there it just puts a new flavor on learning about the world and the people therein.
So you're saying the United States isn't the only country in the world?
Yeah. One little pet peeve is those maps where the United States is like, at the center.
Yeah.
And like 90% of the map and everything else is small.
I think I've said this before. I've learned every country in the world and where it's located. I don't know if I've told you that before.
Really? All 197 of them?
All 196 of them, yeah.
96,
I don't count to Palestinian territories, but I have learned all 196. But the reason was because it's like, I want to know where these places are that the news is talking about. And my kids have learned and are trying to learn those, because it's like, I want them to see how big the world is, how many countries there are in the world that aren't the US of A. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're praying. I think you've hinted at this. We have other elders on the elder team that have prayed this. We are praying for our children that they would be missionaries.
Yeah.
And we are praying that they would go. Now, that's a painful thing to pray, and I don't think I'm prepared for what that means at all, to say to send my kids off. But I'm praying that God would be gracious to send my kids all over the earth to make his glory known. And I think that's a good prayer. Mm-hmm. That's something we want to be praying for our kids.
Yeah. And it starts when they're young.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Absolutely.
And, we have experienced that in our family and the church as well, and are hopeful and prayerful for the future and what the Lord would do as well. I think another practical way to just cultivate that heart to see God glorified in the nations, and your role in it, is planting seeds. And that could be in specifically praying as a family with your 8-year-old son or daughter. And if they see that and it's a consistent part of your life, when you open the Bible and you're spending time praying and they're growing up with that being characteristic in your family, the Lord is going to cause that to flourish by his grace in the future. So our role is just plant a ton of seeds in their hearts and see what the Lord would do. I was very thankful that my dad did not try to make me into a little Jim Greenup at all. He said, what is Dustin's bent in how the Lord's making him, and how can I help him flourish in that? Yeah.
This is another Piperism, but holy ambition. We talk about having a holy ambition. Mm-hmm. I want my children to have a holy ambition. They will have an ambition of some sort in their life. God has given them loves and gifts. God has designed them uniquely. They are unique from me. They are unique from their mother. They are unique people. And the world emphasizes people, their specialness or their uniqueness. Mm-hmm.
Especially in this culture.
In this culture here, right? They emphasize that, you're one of a kind. And that's true. God has designed each person uniquely. However, he's designed them uniquely for his glory. Mm-hmm. So they have an opportunity to glorify God in a way that's unique. And their life is still all about God. We want to develop in them a holy ambition to use the way God has designed them, God has shaped them, to use that for his glory. and really have that holy ambition. When I ask kids, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do with your life? You know, there are the typical answers that people give. When I ask a junior in high school, hey, where do you want to go to school? You have some kids are like, I don't know. You know, I'm not even thinking about that right now. Mm-hmm. Or you have some that they really know, hey, I want to be a doctor or I want to be a dentist or whatever. I very rarely hear those 16, 17 year old kids say, I want to be a dentist, but I want to go to a foreign field and I want to impact nations for Christ. We got to cultivate that. We've got to raise young people up to have that holy ambition.
Yeah.
Think outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. What were they designed for? What were they made for? So one practical thing we did and have done is again, adopt a missionary, mm-hmm. even for a length of time. And our kids write them letters.
Yeah.
Because they think about them. They think about, because they write them letters. And it's good stuff.
One of the most impactful things I can remember in one of our daughter's life was we had had a particularly hard 24 hours for her at school for some ministry stuff. And we just came home really discouraged. And in that mail that day, which you only get every 2 to 3 weeks, in the mail that day, our daughter Olivia had received a letter from someone stateside. And like, I just wept into tears because it was the Lord answering a prayer that we'd been praying for about a month in this specific issue for her, that the Lord was orchestrating and had already been in the process of answering well before.
Incredible, isn't it? We have a good God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, not every family is going to be able to go overseas.
Yeah.
And we want to be developing a mission mindset in our kids here, mm-hmm. you know, in their neighborhoods, in their communities. So how do we do that? How do we really be on mission where we live right now?
I mean, in Spokane, it used to be, I think, 99.95% just white Caucasian people. But the demographic, even in Spokane, has changed so much over the last 10 to 15 years, where there are a lot of nations living right in Spokane and in every city in the United States, majority speaking, that you can reach out both internationally to a people group, but even practically just your neighbors and the school that your kids are at. And it just takes a step in that direction to begin that kind of process. Some have said nothing's going to automatically be birthed on an airplane when you get overseas.
Yeah.
And so what are those things that you need to live out here that will be carried out because it's who you are when you're on the mission field? So,
I think there are ways that we can take off those glasses. You talked about taking off the glasses that our kids usually see the world through.
Yep.
We work a lot. Parents work a lot at trying to protect their kids from things or trying to keep their kids away from certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a reason to be intentional in taking off those protective glasses sometimes or that bubble that we put our kids into sometimes and putting them in the midst of the ugliness of the world and letting them see this is how people live. You know, when we talk about people needing the gospel, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And making or constructing your life in such a way to expose them to people that don't live like we live in our faith Bible bubble sometimes or in our Christian school bubble or whatever bubble you're living in.
Yeah.
Well, Dustin, thanks for coming in and talking.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That was enjoyable to be with you for a little bit. And Seth, it was also enjoyable to be with you, even though we didn't hear you. He's going to cut that out. So anyway, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or if you have any podcast ideas, we don't get a lot of those. People very rarely email us with podcast ideas, and we would love to hear. We've got some good podcasts coming and looking forward to that. But send us podcast ideas. We'd love to hear from you at info@fbchurch.org. Thanks for joining us. Toodles.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.
I would love to be a tornado chaser. I mean, seriously, that's the only reason to live in Oklahoma, chase tornadoes.